This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Remember, all guests appear on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, and we have three of them as we go around the AFC North. And our first stop is in Baltimore. 105.7 The Fan's Ken Wyman, who joins us right now on that North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, joins us right now. I dumped that. We're okay. The Sunday Night Football. You drink the carbonated waters. That's what happens.
That's the problem. Yeah.
Sorry. It's on NBC and Peacock. First off, Bobby, you ask him a question. I've embarrassed myself now.
Hey, guys, I just get all fired up from this AFC North music, so I'll just
right,
while you guys do your thing.
Obviously, it was almost a colossal falling apart again by the Ravens, but this time they held on. They looked pretty damn dominant for three quarters. Do people feel better about the Ravens?
They feel better. So not only three quarters, but they were up 28-6 with 9 minutes left to go in the game. I think there's a couple of things. Number one, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but they might have a Justin Tucker problem. He's not missing a
whole game.
Ken, the holdout.
Right.
It's all started with the money.
Yes, yeah. Finally.
And I saw a stat last week. Since the start of the 2023 season, he's hitting 14% from 50-plus. The next worst guy is at, like, 49% with five or more kicks. Like, he's becoming an issue because I don't think they've adjusted to the fact that he isn't the guy he used to be. And Sunday, he missed a 46-yarder in a dome. That's I think it's in his head now. But if Zay Flowers fields these onside kick, then it all becomes a moot point. And I will bring up that Mike McDonald, at the start of his career as a defensive coordinator for the Ravens, had an adjustment period. They had a game that people will remember here where they were up big on Miami, and then Tua started throwing the ball over the yard to Tyreek Hill, and they had a big fourth quarter comeback. So I think people are trying to preach patience on Zach Orr, the new defensive coordinator.
Too much Monken, not enough Monken.
I'm good with Monken. I thought he had a great year a year ago, and I thought that they had a great game plan against what is a in my opinion, a soft Dallas defense. You know, it's Micah Parsons. I guess Lawrence is a decent player, and not much else on the front seven. So they just ran him over the whole game. And Ravens' offensive line, which has been under fire here in Baltimore for the first two games, looked great on Sunday.
Would you say right now your fans would put the Steelers on the top of the division, or would they put the Ravens? I imagine they would not be putting the Bengals or the Browns.
Well, the Steelers are 3-0. I think they're an interesting team, though, because the offense doesn't look great. Though I will say, and I've never been a Justin Fields fan, but I thought he looked decent on Sunday. They're 3-0, and the Ravens are 1-2. If the Ravens were 2-1, I think you'd get more of an argument. If they don't blow that game to the Raiders and they're 2-1, I think Ravens fans are pumping their chests a lot more this week.
What is the expectation of Yannick Ngakoue?
It didn't end well the first time, I'll tell you that.
No.
No, it was they played when he was here, and they got him at the trade deadline a few years back. I think it was the COVID year. And by the end, he hardly played in the playoff game against Buffalo, which they lost in Buffalo, because he doesn't want to do anything but rush the passer. Now, maybe in this defense, once he's up to speed and all he has to do is rush the passer. Maybe he can give him a little juice, but I'm not expecting a whole lot.
Ken, I saw the internet try to make something of Lamar Jackson walking off the field after that game, wishing they would have really kept their foot on the gas as if he was challenging the coaching staff. How did it play there in Baltimore?
I didn't read it that way. I think he was frustrated with himself. Like, he had a chance to complete a pass in the fourth quarter. He had Rashad Bateman wide open. He tried to force it to Mark Andrews instead. And by the way, Mark Andrews, that's becoming a little bit of an issue. What's he got, 8 targets through 3 games? But I think Lamar was being more self-critical than going after the coaching staff.
Ken Wyman, this damn thing. Ken Wyman, 105.7 The Fan.
Carbonated water, stay away.
Yeah, it's just... Hey, by the way, do you still consider this the preseason?
No. But I do think that now that teams don't play anybody, week one has basically turned into a preseason game.
Okay. Ken Wyman, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore as the Ravens get set for their Sunday night matchup against the Buffalo Bills. 1-3, not very good if they were to start off that way. A team that's hoping to go 1-3. We go to Cincinnati and James Rapine, who, before we bring him on, might have stuck his foot in his mouth in the post game of the Bengals game. Here's James Rapine. Hit it.
The defense was awful. Awful. Didn't stop Jaden Daniels all night. And I like Jaden Daniels. I think he's a heck of a player. He's not that good. And the Bengals made him that good. They didn't force a punt. They didn't force a turnover. This Washington Commanders offense went up and down the field.
Audio courtesy of Bengals Talk SI on YouTube. James Rapine was immediately, verbally and writtenly castrated by the internet after those comments.
Tough to go in the locker room, too, after talking that tough.
Have you licked your wounds, James?
He's not that good. What I said is 100% accurate.
Wow, he stands by it.
I mean, there are people that doubt Patrick Mahomes still, so,
21 of 23. All right, so if Jaden Daniels is coming in to Cleveland this week, you expect him to go 21 of 23?
No, but I'm going to respect his talents. That's what I'm going to do. This is some strong commentary by you.
I did respect his talents. But
your quarterback's 0-3 and has frosted tips. Can you go 0-3 and have frosted tips? No, you can't.
My quarterback.
They're now saying he raided Ellen DeGeneres' wardrobe.
They are saying that.
Reckless speculation.
Her new special is out on Netflix.
Do you have a problem with a quarterback that can't seem to find a style for himself over the first few years of his NFL
career?
It's
an identity crisis, James.
No, he's not Baker. Come on. He's not shaving his mustache halfway through.
Well, I don't know. He was walking around like Iceberg Slim 2 years ago, and now all of a sudden he's trying to act like Cody Rhodes. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know there either as far as the style goes. Here's what I'll say. He played well enough to win the other day, but this defense made Jaden Daniels look better than Mahomes, better than any quarterback I've seen, and he's still got time in the pocket. So that's the big concern, I would say, is finding a way to get pressure on opposing quarterbacks.
How do the Bengals, where they play Carolina at 1 o'clock, but big picture, how do the Bengals take their secondary? Well, we'll get to Andy Dalton here in a second. How do the Bengals take their secondary from garbage to not garbage?
Well, you got to get pressure on the quarterback. I don't even think the secondary is the main issue on defense. I get it. They gave up some big plays the other day. But when Jaden Daniels is sitting there in the pocket and is comfortable all game long, most quarterbacks are going to do that. By the way, you're going to ask me about Andy Dalton. If Andy Dalton's in a clean pocket, you know what he can do? He can throw touchdowns. And so they have to find a way to generate some pressure.
It's at Carolina, so it's not like a reunion. But do they have fond memories, Andy Dalton? Is it like, good old Andy is, or like whatever?
Yeah, I would say it's good old Andy. At the same time, they're 1-2 against Andy since he left. He's made 3 starts against them now, one with Chicago, one with Dallas, and then one with the New Orleans Saints. And this is obviously a must-win. You dropped 0-4, and I don't need to worry about late January because I know where I'll be. So they have to get a win this week. And again, I think it starts with getting pressure on Andy Dalton and making him uncomfortable.
You know, in the past, when you get off to the slow start last year, it was the injury, the weather, Like, it made some sense. But Joe Burrow's playing pretty well. I think there'd be a lot of teams that'd be happy to have Joe Burrow right now. If they can't get this corrected this year, is there going to be more and more consternation about maybe what wasn't done over the offseason?
Sure. Yeah. If Joe Burrow is playing at the level he did on Monday night and they're still not winning games and you look up and they're 7-10, then yeah. I mean, then there's a lot of questions that would have to be asked and certainly answered. And that would have to do with personnel, coaching, all of those things. So I think it's twofold. One, it's good that Joe Burrow has played better week two than week one and certainly played better on Monday night than he did last week at Kansas City. That's got to be even better this week on Sunday if they're going to figure this out. At the same time, I'll keep coming back to the defense because, again, I think Jaden Daniels might be at Paycor Stadium right now just standing there pressure-free, and that cannot happen if they're going to be a playoff team.
James Rocket Rapine, Locked On Bengals, Bengals SI, on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. They're getting ready to go to Carolina on Sunday. Take the roar out of the Panthers. Now we welcome in Andrew Filippone, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, as they get set to take on Indianapolis over at Lucas Oil Stadium. They're 3-0. Why do we continue this charade with Mike Tomlin not picking a starting quarterback every week, Andrew?
That's a very good question, Ken, one that I posed to my listeners yesterday. My theory is that he wants to keep Russell Wilson engaged and interested. He doesn't want a hostage. He wants his volunteers. And so if he comes out and says it is Justin Fields, well, then Russell Wilson goes and gets his PR team to start sniffing around jobs like the Miami Dolphins and other teams that are quarterback needy right now. So
is Russell Wilson really that stupid that he doesn't believe that he's a starting quarterback anyway, talking about Justin Fields? Are you really? I mean, he can't be that stupid.
What do you mean?
He would just be lying to himself. Like, well, he's trying to keep him engaged. Justin Fields is a starting quarterback. So you can't tell me he's not already getting his PR team ready to maybe be traded to Miami or somewhere else.
Well, I think that he's not fully 100% healthy. Although, to your point, if Justin Fields were 0-3 or 1-2 right now, I think that Russell Wilson would be in as the starting quarterback. So the performance absolutely is a part of it. And
so we're just milking the injury now?
What's that?
So we're just milking injuries now? Is that it? What are we doing here? You said he'd be in as the starting quarterback, but then you also said he was injured. So which one is it?
Wait, I didn't say Russell Wilson was the starting quarterback.
You said he would be the starting quarterback if they were 1-2 or 0-3.
Yes, he played through his injury.
Oh, so he would just play through the injury?
Yeah.
Okay, that's nonsense, but go right on ahead.
Hold on a second before we get to the nonsense.
What?
You don't think Baker Mayfield did that his last year in Cleveland?
Yeah, he did, and we all saw the results of that.
Right, and you don't think Russell Wilson is such a maniac and such a competitive dude that he would do the same thing?
I wouldn't condone the practice, is what I'm pointing out.
You don't think that he would?
But you just said that he was out because of an injury, and then you said, well, if the results were different, he would be in there. So what are we, just sitting here waiting around then?
Well,
so shouldn't you have a question of him as a leader? I thought that he was supposed to be a leader. Wouldn't you have a question of him if we're just sitting around having a quote-unquote injury, but that's because we're 0-3 to start things off? Well, it's not we, but you guys are 0-3 to start things off?
Ken, you're naive if you don't think that timetables for guys also depend on how the people that share their position perform.
You're naive if you think a head coach has to sit there and give some sort of questionable, well, he's not really a starting quarterback, to sit there and what? To powder the butt of a 35-year-old quarterback here like he doesn't know what's really going on? That's insulting to Russell Wilson. Please, Tone, take it away. We're off track. Please.
Andrew Filippone with us around the AFC North. How do you feel genuinely about the play at quarterback of Justin Fields?
I feel great about it. I don't know how you couldn't. I mean, the guy's making $3 million and change. He's 3-0. They asked him to throw the ball 32 times against LA, and he delivered. It was not a check down Charlie game. It was not a manage the game situation. They were down at halftime, and they had 6 rushing yards from their 2 running backs at that point, and they needed to put the ball in Fields' hands. And they needed him to push the ball downfield and not just throw it on 3rd and long.
All right, as you survey the landscape around the NFL, and the starting quarterback play, which is very uneven this year with a bunch of retreads leading the way for their teams, where would you put Justin Fields right now?
Top 15.
So average. He's average quarterback.
What's it going to take then to get him an extension?
16, Tone, you know that. You went to Ohio State and Syracuse.
I think the bottom of the league, they keep swapping quarterbacks out at that point. So, okay.
Well, let me ask you, Pony. What would it take to get an extension out of Justin Fields?
If he keeps playing the way he is right now, he'll be a Pittsburgh Steeler for another 3 or 4 years, bare minimum.
All right. What kind of losing streak do the Steelers go on now without Alex Highsmith?
They don't, because the guy that's replacing them is better.
Wow. Pony's always got an angle, doesn't he?
Really?
Look at the numbers. Did he have two sacks?
Well,
two sacks and a forced fumble at 19.
I guess that does it.
That's it. That's all there is to it. You can't deny Pony. Okay.
Big time sample there.
I mean, Tone, I don't know what to tell you.
I thought they loved Alex Highsmith. Now, all of a sudden, they got guys better than him that are going to get playing time now?
I mean, he's the John Lovitz of doing this with us. It's just, that's the ticket. It's whatever he could think of.
It'd be like if Myles Garrett's going to miss some games. Well, Za'Darius Smith has as many sacks.
Za'Darius Smith had a sack.
He's so little of Myles Garrett, you're now putting him in the same sentence as Alex Highsmith? Good Lord.
No.
Holy smokes.
I'm just saying, that was very quickly to move on to the next guy. I mean, that was like record time.
I'm not moving on to the next guy. I'm just saying his backup's better. That's all. That happens sometimes.
Interesting. All right. Andrew Filippone, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. And that's
I didn't know he was still up.
The end for around the
AFC
North.
I didn't either. That's why I faded the music.
No, he was still there. I left him there.
So, okay. If he's just, I know we've got our own problems to deal with, but it's around the AFC North. We talk about the other teams. If Justin Fields, and he's been fine, but if he's just 15th, they're not going anywhere. Even with a great defense, they're not going anywhere, right?
They can go to the playoffs.
Yeah, sure. These bad teams make playoffs every year. Average teams make the playoffs every year.
If they make the playoffs and we don't, you're not going to be upset about that?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
I'm just saying,
I was about to say.
We're talking about the Steelers now. And I'm just saying that if you just got, like he said, I feel great about the quarterback play. But then in the next sentence, he's like, yeah, 15th. Well, okay, I feel great about average quarterback play. I mean, I get the bar lowers. I've been in Cleveland. The bar lowers when you don't have good quarterback play.
Guardians are great. We were hoodwinked, bamboozled. It's unbelievable to me that I thought for sure that they celebrated a third time. Thank God I'm pro celebration. Thank God. Like, I am fine with being hoodwinked. I had no idea that these photos were AI generated. I had no clue. Or that they were Photoshopped, AI Photoshopped. Whatever. I had no clue. So, like, the Ohio Cup was, like, sitting there in the picture. I just thought they celebrated the bye week, or getting the first round bye. So, I'm like, oh, third celebration.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things, like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Whole room thought it was the third celebration. They posted these pictures on the internet, right? And that's what I had thought. Didn't think anything else of it. Whatever. The guys kind of made a joke of the Ohio Cup, and I interpreted it, hearing Bybee, is that they were just kind of having fun with the Ohio Cup. I thought maybe they were having fun because the Ohio Cup was just sitting there. I didn't realize all that stuff was just Photoshopped.
And no, AI generated.
AI generated.
And you know what's going to happen tonight? Like, Cantillo's going to have an immaculate inning.
Yep.
And then someone will comment on it in the post game, and then the Guardians will put out a tweet of them celebrating the immaculate inning, and then we'll come in and do the same show we did at the start of today.
Well, now I just don't believe anything that there is anymore. So I'm nervous, but I'm just glad I'm pro celebration and I didn't get in here like an old man, and even though I was tricked by AI, which is everybody's aunts and uncles and grandparents being tricked on Facebook. I'm just glad I didn't start ripping them for celebrating.
Oh, it would have been great.
Because if I, God.
Hosting Cleveland tears into ball club for celebration that did not exist.
Ben Oxelrod. Ben's a good guy. I'd have to let him do it with awful announcing. I'd have to let him kill me and just take my medicine.
Barrett Sports Media. It would be everybody. What happened to the Ohio Media Watch? Where's that guy?
I miss that.
We all miss that guy.
That guy was, I know his name. I'm not going to say his name. That guy was excellent.
You're not going to give us Roger Brown. Give us Ohio Media Watch.
Oh, thank God I didn't say what I didn't believe it, but thank God I didn't make that argument. Oh, that would have been so awkward and embarrassing. I would have just had to have taken it. But yeah, the Guardians, they clinched their first round bye. I think it's maybe the most satisfying regular season I've seen since 1995. I think that with all that was up in the air, Terry Francona, I think, was a security blanket for a lot of us. I think that this was almost open season. The trade deadline became open season. The 7-game losing streak. There were a lot of people waiting for the other shoe to drop. It didn't drop. The bullpen's been great. That's exactly what Curtis says coming up, where you have a 5-game series coming up. You'll have days off, so you can get back to the bullpen there. Hunter Gaddis, to me, is maybe the best story. It's not the best overall story of the season, clearly, but I think it's one of the most underrated storylines. The guy was an afterthought and a waste as a starting pitcher, and he has become a very good reliever for this baseball team. I love how that's worked out for them. There's definitely some things they have to get through first, personally, with their own team as they get ready for the postseason. Tanner Bibee, I'm feeling good about him. There's a lot of things to feel good about. It's possibly the most satisfying season since 1995. I'll say this again, just to clarify. 2017, it's unfair because it's shrouded by what happened against the Yankees in the ALDS. This is my own emotions. I can only go with my own emotions. Because of that, I tend to take it away. But I also go back to what happened in 2016. The 2016 season was magical. They got as far as they got. They didn't get it. And I think a lot of people just expected them to have a postseason run in them again. Like, I don't think next year, like if they had a 23-win regular season winning streak next year, I don't know if I'd find it as special as I did this year. With some people, you could say that's stupid. Fine. Emotionally here.
Well, this is why
there were so many questions that they answered them this year.
They sucked you in very early, and the fact that they jumped out to the start they did. And then, let's face it, they held on for dear life there for about a month. I mean, it looked like a collapse was there, and we're like, oh, man, this is where you need Tito. This is where you need an actual.
They lost the division.
They had gone all the way down from 9 games to 2. Yeah.
It was tied.
It was tied.
You were off for that week. They actually, and they didn't hold the tiebreaker with the Royals at the time, so they were technically behind the eight ball, and now today they are 7.5 games in front of them, and it doesn't matter.
So the fact that, you know, if you stood with them, you know, and you had your complaints, obviously you should. I mean, they had completely erased the buffer that they had, that cushion, but then to come out of it on the other side, I can understand why you do think this is it, like an all-time great regular season.
It's just been so satisfying.
Rewarding, yeah.
It's just been so satisfying to watch and to see Steven vote. And again, look, the great ones. We as fans, we focus so much on results. We are obsessed, and rightfully so, we're fans. Because we don't spend time on the bus on the way to the airport. We're not on the planes with them. We're not in the clubhouse with them. We don't have to walk through the tunnel after they got beat and they've lost 4 in a row, then 5 in a row, and you start to doubt yourself through the in-house strife. These are all grown individuals with ego. The ones that are really, really great at what they do, they are obsessed with the process. And to be great, as a manager, as a head coach, you have to be obsessed with the process, not just the results. The process, most of the time, breeds the results, but you have to be obsessed with that. And to see Steven Vogt get emotional after a regular season game, and yes, it was a win, but you understand what he got emotional over. You have a guy who's the right guy that's obsessed with the little things of what it takes to put a team together. And they could have went out there and made a terrible hire, and had us all bitching about Tito not being around anymore, and then had us all ignoring them. And they went out and they made the right hire, and they have some of the right players on this team, and it looks like they have a bright future. Now, that all said, they had every opportunity where people thought they were going to be let down, because this is a different year. There have been years where all three teams had no expectations, and one of them grabbed us, and we got excited about them. Expectations, they make you a tough critic. I hope people realize that. And your expectations for other teams, because they're all your favorites, your expectations for the other teams creep in to other teams as they go on. So the Cavs, where they didn't get to where you wanted it to go, and then we're holding on to all these guys. I can't believe we're starting the season over with all these guys. We're going to run it back with this. And people are upset. It tends to bleed in. The Browns, what expectations are there? What are they failing to realize? Well, that's going to bleed in. And I think a lot of people were waiting for that other shoe to drop with the Guardians, especially that week you were out, Tone, and it just didn't happen. They got tied, but they kept their head above water, and then they took back off of the division. And I think that means something, because if the other teams, if everybody was just starting out again and this team started up, I think it'd be happy-go-lucky. I think the expectations of the other teams do bleed into a team like this. Well, I think it would be the same with the other teams as well.
I've been trying to maintain all year. This is wide open in the American League. It is totally wide open. It's been that way all year. I don't think these other teams, even with their payrolls like the Yankees, I don't think they're so much better and so much more talented. Yeah, they've got guys you've heard of, but trust me, I consume media in those towns. I consume some of the fan reaction in those towns. Like those teams and their fans, they're just as nervous. They are waiting for a shoe to drop. It's not like they are puffing their chests out either on their teams. And that's why it's important. Like, not only is this thing wide open, but you've got players. Some of them have some seasoning now. And look, it's going to be a question mark about the rotation and a question mark about Stephen Kwan. Yeah. But, I mean, we've been talking for a month now that you have reason to believe this team can absolutely go to the World Series.
Well, there is a good thing brought up. What's the biggest thing we have to focus on? It's on 92.3thefan.com.
Yeah, it's a great question.
Is it the layoff? Is it the lineup? Is it the rotation? I'm more concerned with layoff.
Wow.
Because you can simulate games, but you can't simulate pressure. Because you're going to have nobody in a stadium when you're simulating a game. And now you're going to have a packed house in the postseason. They're going to have their towels out. And I do think, and this is where I'm not starting up any sort of an argument here, but I think it's true. When you do go from, hey, we got 25,000 here, it's a good night. Good night, that's fine. To, hey, it's a packed house and all the cameras are on you and there's an electricity in the atmosphere. You have to kind of get used to that.
Mm-hmm.
You do have to kind of get used to that and get your bearings in a sport like baseball.
National media that have not paid attention to the Guardians all year. They're all of a sudden going to be doing their interviews, the pregame press conferences. The feel is different. I mean, it is a totally different feel. And you've got some guys who've been there before, obviously, for the Guardians. But, you know, in a place like the Yankees, place like the Astros, you know, they've been through this every single year. I'll tell you, the layoff, yes, be paying attention to that. I think it's a lineup. And I know that sounds like, wait, you're picking the lineup over the rotation. I think you got enough arms now between the bullpen and the starting rotation.
Especially the way that playoff baseball.
Yes, I've got enough faith. Even though you don't have the Garrett Cole or the Justin Verlander, the Clayton Kershaw, who even has struggled at times in the playoffs. Even though you don't have those guys, you've got a bunch of guys that I think could just flat out get other guys out. And I think you've got a manager that understands how to leverage the stuff that you do really good. The thing I don't know about is that lineup, especially with Kwan. I have no idea what that's going to look like in terms of effectiveness come playoff time.
The other day he said, and Frank has called into the station many times. He has called in from locations many times. Frank does travel to these games. It's like his indulgence. That's the vacations he takes. He travels to the games. He has ended his trip, canceled his trip to Las Vegas to watch the Browns play the Raiders. And we said, well, why can't you just give up your tickets? And he said, you know, he's a gambler. Okay, fine. It's, hey, man, this ain't worth canceling your trip. Who's canceling their trip? Were there other trips people were going to take? I thought Vegas was just going to be the big one. Like New Orleans. People aren't canceling New Orleans, are they?
Yeah, I do know some people that are going to the New Orleans game, but this was the one from the moment we found out the schedule. I mean, my friends were all circling that, and all of them are still going. They're all still going. There was no way. The Browns could be the worst team in football. They are going to that game and taking over that stadium.
I've never been to Vegas, but when I say I've never been to Vegas, the first question I get is, you've never been? And then when I say, nah, I've never really wanted to go, the very next thing is, you've never wanted to go to Vegas? Like, people look at me like I'm an idiot. And maybe in that case, I don't know what I'm missing. I don't know. I've never been a big gamer. I don't really gamble. I don't gambled in years.
Well, and we did the schedule game when the schedule came out, and the whole bit of the schedule game was how expensive this damn Vegas trip was going to be. And yes,
for your friends, it was like $8,000 a piece.
It's going to be expensive. Like, there's just no way around it. But the beauty of Vegas is there are 1,000 different trips you can take in Vegas. It's not like New Orleans. There's like 2 trips you could take in New Orleans. It's going to go one of 2 ways. Vegas, it is a choose your own adventure. And yeah, it's tough to do that on a budget, but I'm sure some people will. I'm sure some people can find a way. I mean, a game ticket's the game tickets. It's a new venue. It's going to be expensive. But it's going to be all Browns fans. What does it matter if the Browns are good or bad? What does it matter? And the season's not over. My God, they're 1-2. Like, if it was the 14th game of the year and you were 0-13, all right, the football's going to suck. But it's Vegas, and you're going to be there with your friends and a bunch of Browns fans. Come on, you can't have fun in Vegas? That is on you.
I would figure you can. I can't imagine. Is anybody canceling any other trips like D.C.? I always thought Landover, Maryland was like 2 hours away from D.C. I didn't realize it's 30 minutes from D.C.
It'd be a five and a half hour drive
so
from here?
So can you go see the sights in D.C. and then go to the Commanders game?
Stay in Georgetown. You can stay at the Watergate, Kenny. Stay at the Watergate. Beautiful rooftop.
I love history.
The restaurants are incredible there. You can go to the bar where JFK got engaged.
He got engaged at the Watergate?
No, there's a different bar. There's a bar in Georgetown.
Oh, okay.
Can go there, and you can sit at the same table. Come on, you could have a great time there. That'd be a great road trip.
Can I go to the same place his dad took him when he was a young man? Don't be messing with me in presidential history. Go ahead and you guys look it up. I just wouldn't believe. If you had a trip planned, I wouldn't believe you'd be able to not do this trip. I mean, is anybody not going to Denver? Snow, beautiful. Pittsburgh's Pittsburgh.
There's a lot of Clevelanders that moved to Denver and just stayed there.
I wouldn't want to go to the Eagles game regardless. It just seems like I'm asking for trouble.
With you there.
I'm not interested in it.
With you
no.
there.
No.
Well, if you're just going to do schedule game.
Here we go.
We are doing schedule game.
Well,
at least we'll
do a new thing, which is Power Rank your road trips.
Oh. Well, number one's got to be Vegas. I got to see what everybody's been telling me.
It's number one.
So that's number one to me. Number two, Lyman just sold me on presidential history. I will go to Washington and see them play the Commanders.
You got Adams Morgan, DuPont Circle. You can go to the Arlington.
National Cemetery?
Yeah.
It's amazing. All of it. Alexandria, 20 minutes, that's, 25, 30 minutes.
We went in eighth grade, and I remember it was a pain because they drug you to so many things. And I'm interested in history. It was just constant move, on the move. You got to see the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And it's like, man, some of the stuff.
You can take pictures and video now there, apparently.
I don't need to necessarily go. 216-474-0092. It is not 9:40 on a Friday.
Didn't get a third.
Shut up. I am not.
Tell me to shut up.
I don't mean to tell you to shut up. I'm telling him to shut up.
Do the actual power.
Sorry.
They got to do the power.
New Orleans, fine.
You shut up.
New Orleans, fine. No, you know what? Denver. I want to see that bank building. And I like to. I went out west once, and now I'm kind of interested in the west. Denver, number three.
Who needs to shut up now, Kim?
I didn't mean to tell you to shut up. I meant to tell Tony to shut up.
We will talk about it after the show.
Oh, no, come on.
You better bring your gloves, buddy boy.
Well, Mitch is the amateur boxer, according to what he told us a couple of weeks ago. A lot of things we don't know about Mitch. Adam on the road. Hello.
Hi, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing okay, Adam. Go right on ahead.
No, Adam, shut up. You guys are talking about trips. Actually, a couple of buddies and I are going to do what you're talking about in D.C., and we were looking at the Vegas trip, and it was too expensive. I was like, well, we can just drive from here to D.C., save plane tickets and all that.
I knew a guy who used to drive on a Friday to D.C. every Friday and come back on a Sunday night. He used to drive in an old Dodge van. If he could do it, all of us could.
Well, we also thought it might be an easy W, but then after watching Washington play Monday, maybe not so fast.
Watching us play Sunday and watching them play Monday, it's weird. And I made this point on the internet, and I got roasted for it, Adam. Thank you very much for the call. I And I hope you do have a good trip over there to D.C., and I hope you do get to see some of the sites at your own pace, not like
Rapine
we were forced to.
Rapine says he's not that good, so he should be fine.
That's right.
Yeah, Rapine says he's not that good. I like Jaden Daniels. I was a little bit leery because it's like, man, when he pulls the ball down, there's no throwing down the field. That's it. He's just going. And I thought he'd leave himself open to some hits. Now we're only three games
into
this.
He will.
Well, holy Toledo, did he look good on Monday night. And it was because of the way we played and the way they played, nothing's open. Or nothing's a surefire thing anymore to the fans. I just don't know if I could live in a world where I can live in the world. I can't imagine a world where Washington has a good football or has a good quarterback. And so many people went, well, wait a minute, what about your? I go, this was not a comparison. I should just make clear every time, if I'm making a comparison, I'll make a comparison. I'm not going to make a comparison. Can I make one comparison real quick? Can you chew on this during the break? When we keep saying, well, a franchise quarterback should be able to elevate this team past what happened against the Giants, past what was going on against the Cowboys, you know, Joe Burrow's been hurt the last couple of years. He gets a pass all of a sudden. Why does he get a pass? Why does Dak get a pass to some people outside of Dallas? Can you just chew on that during the break?
Sure.
Okay. Maybe you can roast me next on the